This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's going on, everybody? It is Friday, and Jeff's rocking and rolling here in the studio, gearing up for the parades this weekend. Hope you're staying warm. LSU baseball in action today. Had a 4 o'clock start taking on Omaha. The Tigers up 2-0 in that matchup. They're in the bottom of the fourth inning currently. We'll have some LSU action for you over the weekend. The Purple and Gold will play. It started today, 4 o'clock. On our sister station, the Bet 92.9 and 1350 AM, also the Odyssey app. Tomorrow there's going to be a doubleheader because there's going to be bad weather on Sunday, so they bump things up. There'll be a tomorrow noon game, pregame 11:30. That's also on the Bet 92.9 FM and 1350 AM and the Odyssey app. Unfortunately, game three, which will start at 5, we cannot carry because we'll have the LSU basketball game and we can't have two LSU streams going at the same time. So we'll have that second matchup
like
for you on our
a
sister
law
station.
Of the universe.
Well, they can't send us both for whatever
I
reason.
Understand.
We haven't been able to work that out.
My question is, if you sweep Omaha,
yeah,
is that a good omen for the season? Or will that be like, oh, we already got Omaha, as Charlie says. I think that is. I think it's a good omen, ha.
It couldn't hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. That's all I have to say.
Tigers 4-0 right now, and yeah, that would get them to 7-0 on the season. They also have a game Monday that was rescheduled. They're going to be playing Nichols after the cold weather canceled that the other night. So the Tigers have 4 games in a row before getting a break.
Yeah, I guess, and Charlie, I'm curious. You're number 2 in the country right now. Are they a legit number 2? Do we think that LSU is like a top 3 team in baseball this year, or are they just getting a lot more credit than maybe they deserve right now because they're LSU? Charlie, do you have an opinion on this subject?
They obviously haven't been tested yet, but I think they are. Okay. I think they're a top 5 team in the country. Maybe top 3, we'll see. But the SEC is always loaded, so once you get into conference play, you'll really start to test yourself. But the depth on the mound is what makes them so enticing this year, guys.
Yep.
Now, their offense is a little bit concerning to me. I know that they've been lighting teams up early on, but you're not expecting Derek Curiel to still hit 560 once you get out of non-conference play.
Is that unrealistic?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, not even Dylan Cruz could do that. But I do love their pitching staff this year. I've been raving about it since, you know, they first stepped on the mound with Cade Anderson throwing Friday night against Purdue Fort Wayne. I mean, he's been awesome today, too. I think that they have pitching to match up with anybody, and pitching is what wins.
Yeah, the big thing for me, too, is definitely I had faith in the starters and also even the relievers this Tiger team had. But the question was, what's going to happen with the bats? And we'll see what happens when SEC play starts and they get really tested.
Exactly. So, you know, we'll see. I want to see how Daniel Dickinson does as well in SEC play, because he's playing a lot of the same type of competition that he played at Utah Valley right now. And he's looked really good early on. Same thing with like a freshman in Derek Curiel. I mean, this is his first college baseball action. He looks awesome, but once you get to face some SEC arms, granted, I do think LSU has one of the best rotations and just pitching staffs in the SEC, and that's going to play anywhere.
Yeah, I think there's also any time you're coming off a title I think it's natural for a team to get a little tighter, to feel a little more pressure. Everyone's gunning for you. They're not going to have that issue this year. I mean, they're obviously going to be a top-ranked team, so they'll have people gunning for them. But I don't know. Like, any team that's coming off that and is like, oh, can you go back-to-back? It's really difficult to deliver on those expectations. And I think you can play a little freer this season for these guys, and we'll see. But because we were having a lot of these same conversations last year, right? There was just as much hype around this team last year, and they just didn't deliver on it. They had injuries, you know, that never helped, especially on the pitching staff. So, yeah.
Sticking with college, wondering if you guys saw the story about Miami's quarterback Carson Beck and his girlfriend, Miami basketball player Hannah Cavender. They both had cars stolen from their residence. But that's not the real story to me. When you look at what cars were stolen, Carson Beck had a Mercedes and Lamborghini that was taken, and Cavender, her Range Rover was stolen. And I get it, it's the age of NIL, but how the heck can you have a Lamborghini and a Mercedes?
Because professional college football players make a lot of money these days, Steve. Well, it's funny because, you know, if this had happened 10 years ago, I'd ask that question, be like, something weird's going on. Like, I remember, I will never forget, there was a story, I was watching ESPN, and they were talking about Terrell Pryor and Ohio State, and there was all these things. I think it was when they were got in trouble for like selling autographs or something like that. And yeah. Jim Tressel, I believe, was the head coach, and it was just funny because they were talking about like the Ohio State denies these allegations of blah 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 blah, and in the background you see Terrell Pryor walk out and get into like a 350Z and just gun it and fly, and it was like, wait. Like, yeah, he's not getting paid, but he can afford this like $120,000 car.
How did he get that?
Anyway, now at least we can be honest about like, yeah, he just got paid a lot of money to go to Miami, right? Like, why do you think he's in Miami? Because they paid him. They probably gave him a Lamborghini. Like, that's probably why he has it. That's why he left it unlocked in his front yard, because he was like, I don't even know where to put this thing. I don't have a garage. Anyway, so yeah. Well, there's that. And then did you see the whole story about all the NFL players? There was this like Chilean rings like breaking into their houses and stuff, and they got caught because they were like posting about it, bragging on Instagram.
I know Mahomes had his house recently broken into. Is that part
of
it?
Joe Burrow was part of it.
Oh,
too.
Yeah, that too, right?
Yeah, and so it was like this organized ring, you know, robbing NFL quarterbacks and NFL players, and they got caught because they were posting about it on social media.
That's ridiculous.
A very, very 2025
to begin with story. I thought it was a ballsy move, because you got to figure these athletes have high tech security at their houses,
but you know when they're not there.
That's
just
true. Looking at the scoreboard, is now 3-0 LSU over Omaha. Still in the bottom of the fourth inning there. We'll be keeping tabs on the Tigers throughout the show. Pelicans basketball back tonight after the All-Star break. And man, I don't know, it just seemed like an extended All-Star break this year. Maybe because I didn't watch any of the skills or the game itself.
Yeah, probably because you took it as a complete break from the game of basketball, like most other people did. And it's only underscored by that fact that everyone was paying attention to the NHL's All-Star break. Everyone. We're all talking about it. I did not anticipate coming on here and talking about hockey, but I watched that game last night. And I was like, I got to talk about this. And the reason is because you go watch those games, those NHL, the Four Nations games, and you know the difference? And PK Subban talked about this on Get Up, I want to say, and he was right. Like, the reason that you want to watch that and everyone turns on the All-Star game and then immediately is like, what else is on?
Right.
Because you watch the NHL game and these guys are out there playing their, you know, their tails off. Like, they care. Like, they
throwing their bodies against the boards.
They are going.
No one's taking it easy.
100 out of 100. And you can see that. You can feel that. The energy is there. The intensity is there. You go and watch the NBA All-Star game and it's like, oh, I wonder if Kyrie Irving can get hit a crossover against Victor Wembanyama, who now is like done for the year because he has deep vein thrombosis, which is crazy. Hopefully he's okay. But like, that's the difference. The NHL players were all in on that experience. And so it became basically like an Olympic event. And Canada's like, well, this is our game. We can't lose this game, right? It'd be like, and I guess if Canada came in here and played a game against the NBA stars from the USA, we'd be like, if we lose to Canada, this is our game. So I don't know. I think if you're the NBA and you're watching what happened with the NHL and all the attention that's being paid to the NHL, and you're not looking at that and saying, we got to do something like that. Now, maybe not the exact same thing, but there's a lot of really good Canadian players. You probably could have a Canada versus USA dynamic, and it would work The problem is, and this is the other thing we talked about, there's so much money on the line in the NBA that, like, say, you want Shea Gilgeous-Alexander to lead that Canadian team against Team USA. He goes out there and sprains his ankle, and suddenly the Thunder season is thrown off, and that impacts, because it comes so late in the year, that impacts the Thunder's chance to go win a title, even though they're the best team in the NBA. And that's not going to fly with the owners. Whereas I think the NHL, nothing but they gain everything from the attention. Like, they want that attention, especially here. So I don't know. That's not what I intended to come on and talk about. But, like, that's the difference. You watch those games, and the NHL players are going all out. And you watch the NBA All-Star game, and these players are just like, hey, cool, fun.
Chucking it up from half court.
Yeah. Well, 180 points? Cool. Yeah, let's do it.
Well, anyway. The skills competition, too, even when you have, you know, the slam dunk competition used to be must watch for me with Dominique Wilkins, Michael Jordan, and the stars taking part. And nowadays, you don't even know who's in it.
I feel like we've reached. Yeah, I think you need to have the stars do it. And that's the problem, is the stars kind of don't care. Right. Like, I mean, Mac McClung have a ball. Right, well, he's won 3 years in a row. Mac McClung,
woo.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great, that's who I'm here for, a guy who doesn't even play in the NBA.
He's helping promote the G League, Jeff.
Yeah, great, fantastic. That's what I want. I want the G League. That's why I'm tuning in to the dunk contest. Plus, I do feel like we have reached the pinnacle of, like, what a dunk can be. I just feel like there's no new ground we can cover.
We jumped over people, over cars.
Yeah, like, what are we doing? It has to be like... Like, you know, Dwight Howard put a cape on and, like, dunked from, like, 5 feet away. And I was like, hey, cool.
I remember when D. Brown, you know, he covered his eyes.
Yeah, Nate Robinson was fun because he's so small. You know, but, like, this, if you're not going to put the stars in it, it's not worth watching.
We're going to do is take a break right now. When we get back, we'll get into some NFL Combine talks, since that's cranking up next week, starting Thursday over in Indianapolis. Eric Edholm, the lead writer of NFL Media, draft writer, I should say, for NFL Media, will join us right after this break. Stay tuned on WWL. Get into some pigskin football talk right after this on WWL.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
We are post-Super Bowl, but, you know, football season never ends. We got the NFL Combine cranking up next week to help us talk about that and the upcoming NFL Draft. Eric Edholm, lead draft writer for NFL Media. Thank you so much, Eric, for the time. How you been doing?
I'm doing all right. What's up?
Doing great, man. You stirred the pot down here for sure the other day, putting out your article with Shedeur Sanders, landing spots, seven teams likely to pick the Colorado QB, and putting the New Orleans Saints in that number. Tell us about that.
Yeah, all right. There's this little thing we do where it's the off season and we kind of, you know, cast some ideas out there and see what sticks. I mean, we're at the point in the off season where we don't have a lot of information about what the Saints' plans are right now, right?
Right.
And they have to create some plans because there's a lot of work to be done that affects the offense, the defense, the quarterback position, you know, all these things. There's you know, as laudatory as Kellen Moore might have been about Derek Carr, he also didn't say, yeah, he's my week one starter. They haven't, you know, proclaimed that yet. So that leaves the door open. I mean, obviously, if you look at the reality of the situation and some tough cuts coming and some free agents walking and, you know, a little bit of a reboot here, then I think you have to at least consider the first round quarterback option. But I also admit that that's not the most likely spot.
Yeah, and I guess with Shadur, he's probably the guy in the top half of the first round that I have the least idea of, okay, where might he go? Because, you know, we're talking about, hey, could he be there at 9? Yeah. Could he go at 3? Yeah. Could he go in the second round? Yeah. I genuinely don't know. I'm just curious, what's your read on what his draft stock actually is? Because this is the time of year where I feel like there's like a lot of noise about like, oh, he's a first rounder, he's a second rounder. And then suddenly it's like, oh, okay, Bo Nix is going 12th overall, and I didn't see that coming 3 months ago. So where are you at? Where are you on Shadur right now?
Yeah, and I think just as parallels, and I'm not comparing them as prospects, a couple of years ago in the Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis draft, it was sort of viewed as if those two were the top two guys. Now, clearly there was enough suspicion with Malik where he ended up falling around 3. I mean, there were plenty of people who had him in first-round mocks, and, you know, I'm trying to think of the other one. Yeah, Will Levis. You know, Will Levis was a guy who populated the top 10 of some people's mocks, ended up going 33rd. So, yeah, like if you told me right now, I could look into the future and tell you Shadur is going to be a second-round pick, it wouldn't be the most stunning thing of all time. So that's the other thing. I mean, yeah, I think there's a good chance he could go in round one, given how many teams right now appear to need quarterbacks. But what if, you know, there's some creative movement and maybe one or two promotions from within where, you know, the jobs suddenly dry up? It wouldn't be stunning if he ended up slipping. So, yeah, that's just – his stock is hard to read right now because he doesn't have super physical traits. We're going to the combine, and, you know, that's a little bit of a showcase for that. You know, there's a sort of question about what Dion's influence is, and I think that most people have come away with really positive impressions when they meet him. They think he's a grounded guy. His game shows some maturity to it, but you still have to answer some of those questions.
You mentioned Kellen Moore's press conference. Definitely wasn't committal on quarterback Derek Carr. Said glowing things, though, about Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara. Just curious, though, as a whole, what did you think about the hire for the Saints here? I know he's got a ton of work to do to clean up the situation in New Orleans. But overall, the coach, Kellen Moore, what do you think he brings to the black and gold?
Well, my first personal interaction with him was I was doing a story on him and some people when he was the backup quarterback, and he was on the coaching staff at the time. It started with a story about he at one point was the last left-handed quarterback to throw a touchdown. Now, two has come into the league and other guys, but we went like 3 or 4 years, so it started with me doing a story about that, and then while I was down there talking to other people, everybody said, you realize you're talking to a future NFL head coach here. And I was like, you know, sometimes you hear stuff like that and you kind of, you know, in the back of your mind roll your eyes a little bit, but you heard it from different people. And obviously his dad having, you know, a legendary high school resume and sort of growing up in that environment, football family, right? Kirby doing good things at Mizzou and, you know, the whole bit. I mean, this is in their blood. It made sense. You know, this wasn't just sort of people saying that for a good quote in a story. And, you know, you saw his fast ascension through the ranks and obviously the difference he and Vic Fangio made as coordinators for that Eagles team. They were no less talented last year. Obviously they made some sharp moves in offseason and everything like that. But I feel like his presence obviously took them to a different level, even with, you know, Saquon added and things like that. But you know, he seems sort of built for the job, and this is going to be a tough test, even in a division where you can, you know, maybe steal some games and be competitive.
Yeah, and obviously the news that came out today that they're hiring Brandon Staley as defensive coordinator. I think anytime you hire a former head coach on your staff, it's going to draw some attention. You know, Brandon, they obviously worked together with the Chargers. It's kind of fascinating when you look at a situation where, hey, I'm the head coach and I'm hiring you as my offensive coordinator. 2 years later, you're the head coach and you're hiring me as your defensive coordinator. You know, Doug Nussmeier is also on that staff as well, has been following Kellen around. He was also on that Chargers staff. Brendan Nugent from that Chargers staff is coming over. So a lot of familiarity with those names. Just curious, what are your thoughts on Brandon Staley as a defensive coordinator in the NFL?
Yeah, obviously, you know, his head coaching tenure, had some rough moments to it and everything. But, you know, there was real optimism when he started there. And I think there was some real energy there. And nobody doubts his credentials as a defensive mind. And, you know, I think, you know, we've seen it before where a hot coordinator, offensive or defensive, gets elevated to that position. They get thrown into the head coaching job. They stumble. And it takes, like, sometimes 5 years. Sometimes those car washes can be a little faster, but sometimes these guys have their reputation hit a little bit, even if they're no less a coach than they were before. You know, even if that, they might be better going through those experiences and getting humbled a little bit and taking a step back and what do I need to do better and how do I, you know, improve on this. So, like, people I know who have talked to him say this is still a good football coach who deserves to be in one of these positions in the NFL. So, yeah, it was one of those moves that everybody kind of called right away. It made sense, and yeah, I think they're building a little camaraderie and a little chemistry on that staff, as you said.
Eric, looking at the combine that's going to be starting up next week, we all know the studs that are, you know, the big names in this draft, but there's always those guys that end up performing well in whatever, you know, aspects of the game that they're, you know, going through on the field at the combine. And then, you know, they've got to go through the interview process as well. But what are some of the guys you think that maybe not so much the main focus on the radar right now that have a really big chance to boost their draft stock going into that NFL combine we're going to hear a lot about next week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that there's anyone that's going to beat Xavier Worthy this year. I'm pretty sure there's not. We may not have that kind of a performance. It's more going to be about the explosiveness. This is what I suspect of the defensive line group. And that's both the interior guys, how well they move for their size, and then also the edge guys. And I think those are two positions, just from my vantage point, that, you know, Saints fans may want to consider, just given who might be cut and, you know, what's left over and how you put a team together. It's, you know, the lines of scrimmage. So I think those are two spots that, you know, once the dust clears, the Saints can look at. And I think it's going to be a spot that we'll be talking about next week quite a bit. Abdul Carter, obviously, probably out of range for the Saints, but he's kind of leading that group. And the fascinating name and somebody who could be in play maybe in New Orleans, just sort of throwing it out there. But Jalen Walker from Georgia is just an explosive, you know, like shot out of a missile kind of pass rusher and pursuer. He plays off the ball. But I, you know, when you see how he attacks the quarterback, it's hard not to think he's going to have that ability in the NFL and be featured in some way. I mean, he's a special defensive talent, but you have to have the right scheme and the right coordinator to use him correctly. But I think he's going to put on a show. The whole Georgia crew might, actually, and Shamar Stewart from A&M. But Mikel Williams is the other Georgia guy I think is going to work out well. James Pierce from Tennessee as well. So, yeah, that's a big group on the edge. And then on the interior, I think also there's a few guys that really kind of stand out. Mason Graham is not going to be the best athlete. He's just the best player there. Maybe in range for New Orleans, but also some big guys from Michigan. Kenneth Grant, he's a freak at 340 pounds. Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. You know, these are players who are all reasonably possible in the top 10 with a great workout. Derek Harmon. So, yeah, I think the D-line and the edge group is really going to be the big takeaway from this event, but also, you know, Travis Hunter and a few other fascinating stories, quarterbacks.
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, and you mentioned most of the names there, like I was going through mock drafts today, and a lot of people have edge rusher going to the Saints at nine, but it's everyone has a different name, and it's funny to see, you know, Nick Skowden, Shamar Stewart, Mykael Williams, Jalen Walker, you know, all four of those guys, you know, two of they're from Texas A&M, Georgia, but like, okay, one of them's a top 10, maybe not. One of them's top 10, maybe not. A guy that I've seen pop up a few times, and I don't know if people are as familiar with him as they should be because he went to Marshall, is Mike Green. I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on Mike Green as a prospect? Because, you know, I think he's going to get held back a little by just, you know, the thundering herd of it all. But I think anyone who watches him play is like, oh, this is a elite pass rush prospect.
Yeah, I would say the way I would describe him, it's a little bit of a stretch, but he's the Quinyon Mitchell of pass rushers, meaning, you know, we saw Mitchell slip in the draft last year, a MAC guy, had a phenomenal Senior Bowl, tested exactly how you'd want it, looks the part, the tape is great, you know, should have been one of the easiest prospects to grade last year. Instead, they let him go all the way down to Philly at, what, 22 or whatever it was, I can't remember now, but you know, that looking back, that was ridiculous. I felt like he was a top 15 pick all day, just like I'm starting to think that Mike Green is in that same range too. Okay? Having watched him in Mobile, he had some dominant reps, and there was some question about the length. You know, he's more of a broader guy than he is long. So interesting sort of body composition, but boy, he's got the pop and also the kind of the juice too. And, you know, he gave it to Josh Connerly, possible, you know, top 40 pick offensive tackle. He worked the Arizona kid, who was another in that same range too, and just had a great week and said, all right, I'm pretty good with my draft stock. I'm out of here. So, yeah, I think he's definitely one of those candidates to be in that, you know, back end of the top 10, early, you know, top 15, somewhere in that range.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing about the combine is he went out there, blew up Josh Connerly, and like George Costanza, like, I'm going, I'm done, I'm leaving on a high note. You know, so the last year, and this has kind of become a trend where a lot of the top prospects kind of bow out of the workouts, or at least we saw that last year with a lot of names. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't work out. A lot of the quarterbacks. Is that going to be a thing? Are we going to get to next week and be like, oh, what did he do? I didn't work out. You know, with all these guys, or was that kind of a one off? What is your kind of read on that?
Talking to some agents last 4 or 5 days, there are definitely like I've heard names from other agents, so I'm not going to just spout the big one, you know, but the talk is that there are some very recognizable names, you know, even the amateur draft folks and the people who are just kind of getting into the process will recognize. So if that's a pretty big hint right there, who aren't going to run 40-yard dashes or aren't going to do this or that. So I think, unfortunately, the trend will continue. I mean, I say that as knowing that it's one small element of the entire draft process, right? It also makes for great TV. You know, what was worthy? I mean, last year was epic, but we understand that each prospect has their own decision, their own path, their own, you know, choices they make as far as how they handle it, and that's fine. You know, that's going to be how they want to do it. Not my call to make, but yeah, I think there's going to be some guys skipping some of that stuff, and you know, we'll see if it's as big as last year was or if it's sort of on the same level as that. And then if it's trending in the wrong direction, you know, that's when people start getting worried about the event and start asking big questions about what is the future of the combine.
Yeah, and it certainly didn't hurt the draft prospects for Marvin Harrison or Jaden Daniels or any of those guys. So, yeah.
Did okay for themselves, yep.
Eric, definitely appreciate you carving out some time for us on a Friday. Thank you, man.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Eric.
Eric Edholm, lead draft writer for NFL Media. Got the combine cranking up starting Thursday in Indianapolis. The underwear Olympics, as some people like to term them. We're going to take a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, break more down of the LSU matchup at Omaha, see where that's at, and take your calls here on the Oaken Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Be right back after this on WWL. Sports talk going till 7 o'clock this Friday as we get ready for some Pelicans basketball. They're taking on the Mavericks in Dallas this evening. Pre-game coverage starts at 7. It's a 7:30 tip-off on WWL AM and FM. Going on right now on the Bet 92.9 FM and 1350 AM, you got the LSU Tigers baseball team taking on Omaha. It is a 4-0 lead for the Tigers right now, top of the sixth inning. And we were talking about a little off-air, Charlie and I were saying Cade Anderson cruising right now. 5 1/3 innings, allowed one hit. He struck out 8 in the 19 batters that he's faced so far. So keep it going, Cade Anderson, as we get this. We've been boasting about this Tigers pitching staff this season. It's been impressive, and I know the competition hasn't been top tier yet, but that'll step up soon enough. It's nice to get, I guess, these kind of preseason games in for LSU baseball right now.
Yeah, they're tune-up games, right? Like, as long as you win them, it doesn't matter what you really look like. Obviously, you want to win them and look good while you're doing it, but it's like you can't lose to Omaha, right? If you want to be taken seriously once you get into SEC play. But talk about taken seriously. This is one that I'll talk to you about because you grew up watching the Yankees, right?
Oh, yeah. I know where you're going. You know, that was all the buzz today.
I'll never forget. Because I grew up watching the Red Sox, and the Red Sox were always like the lovable losers. They grew the beards. They looked, a lot of them looked homeless half the time. I will never forget Johnny Damon, who looked like a caveman.
Absolutely.
And on the Red Sox in center field, the long hair and the beard, and then he went to the Yankees, and suddenly he's clean shaven. Like, who is that guy? After 49 years, the Yankees have decided to allow their players to grow beards. And cool. It's still, I have to imagine it's still going to be like, okay, this little tiny, like, it has to be clean. They're not going to let him just go nuts.
Their GM, Brian Cashman, did make a statement. He doesn't want to see Duck Dynasty beards.
Yeah. As someone who always has a beard, I can appreciate, like, if I had to choose, if I was choosing between two jobs and
pays the same.
Pay was the same. Maybe one's at a bigger market. And one was like, you have to shave every day. You have to put a blade on your face and be miserable. You'll look younger, but you'll definitely look more out of shape. And then the other one was like, you do whatever you want. I'd go to that one.
Yeah, I'm glad that this is something that's been rescinded now from the Yankees front office, because they've allowed mustaches, but for some reason the rest of facial hair is not allowed.
I am glad, because it means that we will have fewer creepy-looking mustaches in the game of baseball, because no one needs that. I don't need a mustache, but for whatever reason, like, a lot of these players would grow mustaches because they just wanted to exercise some agency over the hair on their face, and that's the only way they could do it. But they always look weird. Mustaches are rough, guys. Like, maybe like 1 out of every 10 men can pull off a mustache successfully, but there was more than that on the Yankees trying to pull off a mustache. So that's my take. Because I can't. I am one of those. Like, I have a beard. If I shave it down to a mustache, people
be like, "Who's this guy?"
Kids are gonna keep the kids away because I'm gonna look weird.
Well, finally the Yankees, yes, have caught up with the society, and they're not, saying you can't have facial hair anymore. We'll see how that turns out this season. I've seen some funny pictures coming out of what, like, an Aaron Judge might look like, or a Giancarlo Stanton. There's even been Derek Jeter with a beard. So it's been, people been having fun with it today.
It's Friday.
Yeah, exactly. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. We'll be back with more of it right after this. Stay tuned and don't shave right after this. Well, things getting a little interesting at Alec Box Stadium. LSU now up 4-1, but the bases are loaded right now for Omaha. Cade Anderson has been chased from the game. He had 5 1/3 innings pitch, ended up giving up 1 run, walk 2 with 8 strikeouts, hit 1 batter.
Cut him.
now has an ERA of 1.74.
It's over.
We're going to take a break. When we get back next hour, we'll get into some NBA talk with our Odyssey Sports NBA insider, Nick Friedel. Talk a little Pels and the rest of the league. And get ready for the weekend as well, folks. Want to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Taking a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be right back after that. Stay tuned on this chilly Friday.